coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios.
Friday night lights, the whole town's here. Fans playing loud, you can feel the cheer.
The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
In my hand, drums pound the beat. I'm a warrior in the land.
Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Whistles blowing, crowd on his feet, sweat in the air, it's time to compete. But all that noise, it drifts away when it's just you and me in this four-quarter frame. Yeah, I know
you. And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. We got y'all fixed now.
Oh,
we all good.
Man.
We all good.
Blowing me out,
hey, it is a Super Bowl edition.
The Super Bowl edition of
the Prep Sports Report. Sir. How about that? Tomorrow, the big day. Maybe we talk about that at some point. No, we're going to be talking about it at 10 o'clock. Yes, we are.
Going to be a good ball game.
Going to be a good ball game. I am Randy Bergen right there. He is back from his assignment.
Yeah, y'all are wrong.
How'd you do? How'd you do on your assignment?
How was your assignment?
And then Wes. Wes is getting one of those demerits that cheerleaders used to get. Wes is getting the demerit. I want you to know I'm mailing it to him.
Why?
Because
he just said you were on assignment. Often.
Y'all are so bad. Y'all are so bad.
The question is, how did you do?
Yes.
I did.
Where did you place?
I did. Let me start
I'm
this.
I'm glad you're here, Rick.
Coach Rick,
they're going to get off me a little bit because they were on me pretty bad last week. My gosh.
I did hear that.
I did. I want to apologize. I want to apologize for that. But, Mark, you were just sitting there so humble looking. I'm like, I got to take some of that.
But you did. I'm glad. It's good.
Mark's always humble.
That means you guys love me. That's all I know.
Oh, my goodness.
You stop talking to me. Stop giving me a hard time. Then I'm going to get worried.
we really never know the range of this show. I mean, we can't tell you that they're listening to it in Haleyville, Alabama. But I got a note this week from a guy in the northeast of North Alabama to me. Because if you've never been across Sand Mountain and never been up in that area, it's a long way up there, Mark. And
it's
you know that
up
better.
There.
It is a beautiful,
beautiful
place.
Area of Alabama.
And got this and said, Coach, we listen to y'all's show every Saturday morning around the breakfast table. Please remember and keep the family of Coach Nick Dixon, former Boaz baseball coach who passed away Wednesday. Coach is survived by Anna Carroll, his wife, sons Trey, Bill, and Joel, and daughter Anna Nicole, three beautiful grandchildren. You know, we lose coaches way, you know, it seems like they just bunched up, Mark, two or three at a time. But after finding out about Nick Dixon, this is a guy who spent his entire career in Boaz, Alabama. Children raised there, family, grandchildren raised there. And absolutely loved that community. And, you know, just got sick suddenly and didn't. It was pretty quick. But I want to just dedicate the show this morning to Coach Dixon because this is a guy who gave his entire life to baseball at that school and those children. And we have that frequently. Infrequently, I would guess. Somebody stay there their whole life. But we wish nothing but the best for Anna Carroll and her children and grandchildren and pray that God's blessings will be upon them as they go through this most difficult time because it's a tough, tough time for anybody anywhere that loses – the patriarch of the family. And, you know, I wanted to do that at the beginning of the show because I know those folks up there are listening and just want them to know how much we appreciate that. letting us know that, and so we could honor Coach Dixon today. So
yeah, I agree with you, Coach. You know, you get our age, as we start getting older, there's going to be more and more people that that pass away that we're aware of. You know, as we're younger, you don't hear it much, you don't think about it much, but the older you get, you do. It's just part of life. And but, man, what a great job this guy did at Boaz. You know, Boaz is a wonderful little place. It's a great place to go visit and go through. I remember Coach Meadows used to talk about Boaz, Alabama, all the time when when he was coach. He said, "I'm telling you, go down to Boaz, they're going to light you up in Boaz." You know, that was his big thing he would talk light about all the time. But it's a great place, and what a great job he'd done at coaching baseball there. And he's going to be sorely missed, but he has left a legacy of love and the way to do things correctly.
Yeah.
And that's why it's tough to see folks go, but he'll be remembered through his family and players for generations.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a junior college at Snead in Boaz. And, boy, you talking about you go up there and play Snead in basketball?
Snead Cardinals, is it the Cardinals?
I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going to tell you, we wanted to get out of that gym as quick as we could. neat little place there. And they used to have a big outlet mall in Boaz, and we got a chance to spend some time there. But we just wish nothing but the best for Coach Dixon's family. And just difficult. I know it's difficult for Anna Carroll and for the boys and for those little grandchildren as well. So blessings to that family, and we just pray God's blessings upon y'all during this most difficult time.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Well, speaking of coaches, we've got a lineup of coaches for you today. We're going to be talking some UMS Wright girls basketball with Coach Terry Canova coming up in our next segment. Bottom of the hour, we'll go to Mary Montgomery and talk to Coach Roe Kimball. And then in our 9 o'clock hour, we'll talk to a former T.R. Miller coach, Brett Hubbard.
Brett has just retired, and kind of I think it caught a lot of people by surprise, you know, because Brent's one of those guys you just think would coach forever.
Yeah.
You know, you just do. And because he's a tremendous football coach, been successful everywhere he goes, being inducted into the Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame.
32 years.
He's going to be. And so he's been coaching for 32 and be in the Hall of Fame this spring, and his daddy's in the Hall of Fame. It's a family of coaches, and just –
see, that's the thing, Mark. Now we're beginning to see our buddies, Jim, of course, we love Jim Hubbard. Now we're seeing the children of our buddies be inducted into HSAA Hall of Fame. Brent's been a head coach for 25 of those 32 years.
Correct.
And, it kind of slapped me in the face to see that announcement that Brent was stepping away. Ben Thomas wrote a really neat article about him stepping away and how much we need these coaches, young coaches, really. Mm-hmm. He's a young coach. We need these guys that make a huge difference in these kids' lives, wherever they are. And, Ben really wrote a good article on
that. He did. I read it. It was really
Coach, let me ask you this, because as we were growing up, obviously, and we talk about it all the time, these coaches, how they mentored the kids, the athletes, the kids in school. Do you see that continuing nowadays, or do you see a little less of it?
Yeah,
and more concentration on winning than winning children.
No, there is a concentration on winning, and I think it's about money. What I do. I think that the more you see these coaches, I saw a thing about Georgia high school coaches. There's about 15 of them now that are paid over $150,000 a year.
Wow.
And, Randy, I think it's more about winning football games than it is about winning children. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have a lots and lots and lots of high school coaches who are really vitally concerned about the welfare of those kids now and forevermore. But I think there is a breed of coaches that really concentrate on winning, and they really have to, because if they don't, they won't have a job.
Well, that's where we're we're in a conundrum between winning ball games, keeping your job, okay, and a society now that says, "What have you done for me today?
Yeah.
What have you done for me right now, this minute?" You know, and that society is like that, and it's changing. And Brent even mentioned it in his article. The game hasn't changed.
No.
Everything surrounding the game has changed.
Right.
And there's like people moving kids from one place to another, looking for who can do this for me, and it becomes very difficult. So, yeah, coaches go looking for places where they can make more money to provide for their family as best they possibly can, which is the American dream, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So it's kind of a conundrum. It's difficult. But I will tell you something. There's still a bunch of really, really, really good coaches that win games and win kids.
There's no doubt.
They do both.
One of those guys will be coming up next, Coach Terry Canova, UMass Wright girls basketball coach. He's up next right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name is lots above it.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Glaster, and guys, time to go to our Pops Midtown Communication Line and welcome in good friend of the show, Coach Terry Canova, on the line with us. Coach, thank you for taking time to be with us this morning and congratulations on the win last night.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy to be there.
You know, Steely Dan is talking about, I see your picture. Well, let me tell you this.
Your name and lights above it.
Let me tell you this. This guy here, I'm a big fan. Not only because I spent most of my 20 years with him, but if you turn on TikTok or any of those things, Terry is on there and he's giving coaching lessons. I mean, he's not lecturing, he's giving great advice. And he said, let me tell you, coaches, I get so tickled. I'm sitting up in bed and I'm laughing my fanny off. And Tracy's over there, what in the world is this about? And I said, well, it's Terry again. So I just –
you know, I've always kind of seen Terry as kind of like a Renaissance man.
Yeah.
In the fact, you know, Renaissance men can do – they can do anything. Right? This guy can talk on the radio as good as anybody around. I've seen him on TV commercials.
Yes, sir.
I've seen him on TV commercials. He has acted.
Oh, he's a heck of an actor.
Heck of an actor.
His wife's better, but I mean –
yes. He can coach some golf, and he's also a travel agent guy. There's nothing he can't
no,
do. Just
does
telling
it all. Does it all.
And I tell you what else he can do. He can sure help an old guy coach a little middle school football when we need it to, buddy.
Okay, Terry, that's your introduction.
Some people might call me a Renaissance man. Some people call me jack of all trades, master of none.
All good, brother.
And let me tell you this. When this radio show's over, this, I'm not going to call it what they are, but this Cajun boy, I guarantee he's headed to New Orleans, and he's going to have umpteen friends, and they're going to have the best time of their life this weekend celebrating the Super Bowl, but they ain't going to the Super Bowl because tickets are too darn expensive.
That's 23 and 8.
You're 11 straight. You beat our uptown or up the street neighbor last night, 52-31. Angela Ishii scores 15. Ellie Mosteller scores 10 or 11 and breaks a 1,000-point barrier. It's got to be a great weekend for those of us who love the UMass Wright Bulldogs.
Man, it is so exciting. First of all, I appreciate you guys having me on. It means we're doing something good and giving recognition to our girls and our school. And man, it was a great night last night. Our student body and our fans came out to Wilson Gym and packed it out. And our girls had maybe the best couple days of preparation we did all year. You know, us coaches, we talk about if you want to win a championship, you got to prepare like champions. And we truly, truly had a couple really good days of preparation. And it just showed last night. You know, we jumped out on them early. I think we were up like 13-2 at the end of the first quarter, and just set the tone there. And got a tremendous win over a really, really good and well coached St. Paul's team.
You know, Coach, you got a big win, and now it's one of those deals where, you know, you get the 24-hour rule where you enjoy it, you have a good time, and start getting ready for the next. So what is next for the girls?
Yeah, so you're talking about the 24-hour rule. So, you know, last year excuse me, last year at this time, we kind of doing similar. You know, we last year we went to Geneva. We upset Geneva on the road, a tremendous team, a team who had beaten us early in the year. We all happy and excited. And then we lose in the Sweet 16 to a T.R. Miller team who was tremendous, maybe one of the best teams we played in the last 2 years. They beat us in the Sweet 16. And I had a guy come up to me in my face to tell me our program's spiraling out of control. So,
you know, that part, spiraling.
Yes. That is an exact quote. Andalusia is next, and we are excited about them. You guys know. Sometimes while we got our kids focused on one thing, we're multitasking behind the scenes, and so. So we've done some early prep work on Andalusia, and I have a chance to watch them play a couple times. And I've got a tremendous staff, and they've been working behind the scenes. And so we'll take a day and a half off, and like you said, I'm gonna go to New Orleans and visit with some friends and just get away from basketball for a day or two, and then two good days of prep. On Monday and Tuesday, and travel up to Montgomery on Wednesday, and play Andalusia at some point on Thursday.
Gonna play them what we used to call on the boards. Tell them where you're playing, Terry.
We play them at a Garrett Coliseum. We play them at Garrett Coliseum. We don't know the time yet. It's either gonna be 9 or noon. You know, a couple of years ago, the state did something, which I think is smart and is beneficial. They wait and see how the boys' results come up, and that way they can stack the girls' and boys' team together so there's not a game in between if possible. And so our boys are over at Viger today. They've got a big game, and hoping they punch their ticket today and join us in Montgomery.
You know, that Garrett Coliseum, that's quite a venue.
It is.
I mean, yesterday they had the wrestling sectionals yesterday in there. And then when basketball finishes, there'll be a rodeo in there before too long. You know, they still have those in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can see on the sides of the rink in there where the dirt's kind of in there in the crack.
And then next week they may have a monster jam.
Monster jam, exactly right. Yeah.
Well, and there's a sweet aroma in there, too, isn't there, Terry? I'm telling you, you can tell when they've had rodeo.
You can.
It's something special. I'm telling you. Terry, talk a little bit about some of the changes that we see in basketball. I don't know that it's coming, but I think it's on the verge of coming. What about the shot clock issue?
You know, we got to play with it a little bit this year. Gave us some leeway to use it if you wanted to in games that were non-area games and, of course, no playoff games. And we used it, I guess, 4 or 5 times. Quite honestly, it was really insignificant to us. Now, where it could have come into play, you know, last night we got a 16-17 point lead, and we decided, okay, you know, let's not test fate. We pulled it out and kind of spread it out a little bit and took some time off the clock. Obviously, with a shot clock, you can't do as much of that. You know, you see the worst-case scenarios on social media where a team puts a ball under their arm and holds it for an entire quarter. You know, that's no fun.
Yeah.
You hear your experts out there saying, oh, it's going to make kids better and you're going to help kids get college scholarships. I think all of that is baloney. I think, number one, the great players are going to be great players, regardless whether they play with a shot clock in a game or not. The good teams are going to still be good teams, and the bad teams are going to still be bad teams. You know, coaches are going to adjust and make the best of it, and we'll adjust our plans around the shot clock. So, you know, I think it's something that can, quite honestly, it's built for 1 or 2% of those games where coaches can't stall for 3 minutes. But it is part of the next level, and so eventually the kids need to get used to it. So I don't really care one way or the other. We'll figure it out.
Well, and that's what great coaches do. I mean, you work within the limitations that are placed on you, and you've done that. I know the foul rule changed some people's strategies, and I like that. I like what they've changed. But as we go forward, in high school basketball, Terry, I know Christian Swears at Huntsville has come out with, I think, something he sent around to all the coaches. We got about 30 seconds left. All the different changes that we need to make. Is there any one change you'd like to see with high school basketball other than what we've talked about?
Well, you know, I've seen that too, Rick, and I get it. And I think it's North Alabama, you know, because they're so dominant up there. I think they just want to dominate a little more. You know, I kind of like playing our South Alabama schools and going to the South region, and then we'll take our chance against North Alabama in the Final Four. But – you know, it's a constant evolution. I love our regional play stuff, and I know that some of those guys are against it. They want these home-and-home games. I love punching your ticket and going to region, and we're looking forward to it. This is 13th time in the last 15 years, and I'm proud to talk about that.
Man, it
should be. That's awesome. Coach, thank you for taking time to be with us. Safe travels to New Orleans, and good luck next week.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
You too, buddy. There you go, Terry Canova, UMS Wright girls basketball coach. When we come back, we'll talk with Coach Roe Kimble, Mary Montgomery, right here on the Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pumps Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And certainly welcome you back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Coach, you know, before we get into our guest right here, there's a show that comes on FM Talk 106.5. It'll be today at 4 o'clock and then a replay of it on Sunday at 7 a.m. And that's the Jolene Roxbury Show. No, if
funny.
You've not listened to this, there's a prerequisite to listen, okay? You have to want to laugh.
Yeah.
Okay? Because if you don't want to laugh, this is not the show for you. All right? She does an outstanding job. Check her out today on FM Talk 106.5, 4 o'clock, the Jolene Roxbury Show, and again at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning. So,
you know, before we get Coach Roe Kimble on here, one of my buddies and one of the guys, they sponsor this show, Paul Lewis. From the Roy Lewis Construction Company. And they're headed to Auburn. I sure hope they come home happy today because
they got Florida today.
We got the Florida Gators today.
You know how much tickets they're going for that game? They start at, like, the worst seats there is over $500.
Well,
the top one is $2,300.
Well,
if it gets to be Alabama number two and Auburn number one,
Lord,
those tickets are about $1,000 each.
Yeah, they'll be huge. Go ahead, bud.
You know, and that's we just have to watch it on the SEC network. That'll be fine. That'll be fine.
That's free.
Let our boy Ricky Morris know for Lake Martin, who listens to us every Saturday. Let him pay that $1,000 a ticket. You know, we have never had Coach Roe Kimble on. Boy, you're talking about a guy that has – I think he's been at Mary Montgomery as a head basketball coach for about 12 or 13 years. And, boy, they're rolling right now. They're going to play Baker today at 2:30 to go to Montgomery. And that may not be true. That's not true because this is 7A. They've already punched their ticket for the next round. So win or lose, they're going to go to the next round. Coach Roe Kimble, we welcome you to Prep Sports Report. Thank you, and congratulations on having another successful season at MGM. Let's talk a little bit about your boys, and I know DJ Broughton had 21 points yesterday I think you played Davidson in a 54-40 win, and congratulations on that, and welcome to PSR, Coach.
Well, good morning, and yes, thank you so much for having us this morning. DJ Broughton is our centerpiece this year. Whenever you have a 6'6 versatile big man like we have, it's definitely going to center around him, and he's been anchoring our offense this year. Like I said, he had 21 Thursday night versus Davidson, and he's averaging around 21, 24 points this year. So, yes, whenever you have an athlete like DJ Broughton, we're definitely going to go through him.
You know, when you play Baker, have you played Baker this year? How many times have you played?
We played Baker twice. Yes. Two times in
you know,
in
you're talking team. About and you talk about a team that has been multi-talented and have been very successful under Coach Armstrong. Talk about how you plan, how you work up in practice in the short day that you got to get ready to play a team that is that talented with a team equally as talented in your team.
Well, first of all, Armstrong does a great job with his guys at Baker. He's been blessed to have the athletes that he have. And whenever you have a Division I player in Williams, or Dezo Williams, it's going to be hard to play against him. He's seen everything up under the sun. But one of the things that we try to do, and you know, like any other coach, we try to scheme up a different tactics to go against him and attack him on offense and make him play some defense. But one of the things that hurt us last time we played them was definitely his transition. Their transition game is a thing. It's hard to scheme up against. But that's one of the things we definitely practice on and we worked on and talked about, just stopping them in transition. I mean, like I said, he has some athletes and they get out and run. They want to play the run and gun game and we want to slow it down.
You know, different from football, Mark, in that, you know, you got two things you can do. You can either play a zone or you can play man. And I'm seeing more and more coaches now go to zone switch-ups, zone matchups, and things like that. What is the thing that you kind of hang your hat on, Coach? And we're talking to Coach Roe Kimball from Mary Montgomery, who plays Baker today at 2:30 at Baker. What do you kind of hang your hat on as far as defensive scheme is concerned?
Well, I prefer to go man. I think it's a defensive scheme that suits our team best. Over the years, you know, your scheme has to change to your personality and your personnel that you have on your team.
Absolutely.
And so I really like to hang our hat on the man side. And over the years and even this year, we've done well in playing man. Of course, like I said, when you're playing different teams, you know, a scheme of the zone scheme might be preferable and needed. However, like I said, overall, we like to play the man because, you know, it provides pressure for our team and puts pressure on the other team as well.
We're in 7A, so when we talk about Baker and MGM, you both will advance from here, right?
Correct.
Does winner, and do you know who you will play if you win? What area or region or wherever, where are they coming from? Both for the winner and the loser of this game?
Well, this year they actually changed it. Last year we were playing, I want to say Area 4, but actually Area 1 would match up with Area 2 this year. And Area 2 is Daphne and Fairhope. They won on the other side. So the loser will play the winner on this side and then vice versa.
So y'all will go to Montgomery as well, right?
Correct.
Okay, well then that's because 7A has only 32 teams.
That's correct.
And 1A through 6A has 64. Coach, talk a little bit. We talked about DJ a little bit. Some of your other players that have really stood out for you this year.
Okay, well, one of my seniors actually has stood out, and Sanchez Washington, he's the younger brother of my a kid I had last year, Eric Washington, and he's a 6'6 power forward who does a little bit of all for us. Last week someone asked me what position does he play, and he actually plays all. He can play the point guard position for him because he handles the ball well. He can slide out to the wing because he's, you know, kind of slick and slivery. And also he can go inside and play the power, the center position for me as well. And he's averaging roughly around 12 to 13 points. And also I have a shooting guard in the name of Eric Bragg. He's a younger guard. He's a sophomore, roughly 5'10", 5'11". But he's super athletic, and he does a little bit of it all. He smothers on defense. He's athletic. He can get above the rim, and he's quick as lightning. So, you know, he's a fast guard that we like to use, and in the transition game.
Well, Coach, I know you've got a busy morning, and you got a real busy afternoon as well. Thank you for taking time to chat with us this morning. We want to try to get you back on as much as we can, but best of luck to you this afternoon. Thank you for what you've done at MGM for the last 12, 13 years, Coach, and appreciate the lives you're making a difference in. And, you know, it just we hope we can keep coaches like you in our profession, Coach.
Well, I really thank you so much for hearing that, and we'll definitely try to do our best this evening. So thank you for having me on this morning.
You take care, and you'll be in our thoughts and prayers today as you go about those activities you got to deal with today too, sir.
Thank you so much.
Take care. That's Coach Roe Kimble, Randy, and we appreciate everything that he's done at MGM. Been there a long time. A lot of football coaches come and go there, and he's been kind of the steady guy in that, on that coaching staff.
You know what you're seeing, I think we're seeing from MGM, if you kind of notice, you keep hearing MGM in different sports here recently in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Football goes to the forefront. Basketball is coming to the forefront. I mean, one thing is happening, I think, is they're really putting together a great – and where he's – coach has already been there, but they're putting together a great staff over there that are really working to keep kids
– the philosophy, I think, is changing a little bit.
There you go. And baseball, Barry Hightower is there.
Oh, yes.
But you're talking about a heck of a baseball coach.
Yep.
So they really got things going out there, and that's a good sign.
It is.
They're keeping their kids in Sims.
That's right.
You don't see Sims players –
played
a lot of different
else.
Schools. That's right.
Mark, I got to ask you.
All right.
How'd you do in your golf match?
Man, I'll tell you what. Thank you for asking me that. I was so proud of our kids. We played the 3A state champion. I mean, 4A state champion 3 years in a row now, Haleville from North Alabama. They came down and played, and I got to know their coach last spring, and he and I kind of hit it off, and he brought his team down to play at Rock Creek Thursday. Now, they hadn't seen the course. They didn't get a chance. They didn't have a practice round, anything. And that kind of hurt them a little bit because we practice there every day. But they beat us by 5 strokes, 312 to 317. And Daphne was right there on our heels at 318. And so it was a really good match between three pretty good little golf teams. I was really proud of our team. We were missing three of our guys.
Your top guys.
Yeah, Luke Ferguson, our number one, was he had the flu. Wells Lambert, our number four, has the flu. Jack Thompson, another one of our top guys, has a wrist injury. So he was out. But we slid in a couple of youngsters. Henry Cunningham played a great round, shot 76. Ethan shot 81. Ethan Koch, and we had Jake Jacobs, an eighth grader, he fired in at 76.
Wow, that's awesome.
And that really caught everybody, whoa. And then Campbell Hughes, another eighth grader, shot 84. And so those guys just, they came in and did a really good job for us. One other kid, William Buster, played as an individual, he's an eighth grader, shot an 82.
Good gracious.
And then Hugh Ashurst, a ninth grader, who's been gotten so big. He's huge. He plays offensive line on our football team. And then he came out and played and shot an 88, and he was kind of knocking some of the rust off, but he's a ninth grader.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited about our program and where we are, and really glad to see those kids come out and compete and play well.
That's awesome.
You know, Randy, in that match too, one of our buddies, Shane Cornell's son,
yep.
Blake was tied for medalist yesterday, I think. I think he shot 72.
He tied the Hudson kid from Haleville, both for the 72, and they were the low medalists for the round. I'm going to tell you something. You won't meet a better kid than Blake.
Yeah, Blake's
he
a great
is just
kid.
A fine young man, and every single time you see him out there, it's, hey, Coach, how you doing?
Yeah.
You know, everything going okay? How's your team? Just as friendly as you can be.
And he and Whit play a lot together.
Yeah, they do.
They do play a lot together. He's headed to West Florida, by the way, to play golf.
He'll play at West Florida.
Yeah. Good.
And the boy from Haleville, number one, going to LSU next year. Signed.
That's awesome. All right, we take a quick time out. When we come back, Rick's got the leadership segment for us.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
And we're certainly glad you're hanging out with us on a Saturday morning right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Mark, we were talking about golf just a few moments ago. And, Rick, before we get into the leadership segment, let's just wish good luck to the junior golfers in the SJGT event. And today and tomorrow, that's going on at Gulf Shores Golf Club. Many of those cats are getting ready for the HSAA tournament season. So good luck to them. And one of my favorite places to play is Gulf Shores Golf Club.
Yeah, that ought to be a lot of fun. We've got a few kids going down there to play. Looking forward to seeing how they do.
Should be fun.
Well, all right. You know, Jay Stubbs is a guy that has just works tirelessly with junior golf. And, of course, he's got several young boys in his family that play very competitive golf.
Yeah, and, of course, he's a tournament director for the Jimmy Green Tour.
Yeah, does a great job. You know, I was looking at some notes from past shows, and I got in my little calendar book that we try to keep up with. Every year, right around this time, we try to talk about what makes a great teammate. And, Mark, it seems like that in the last 10 to 15 years, we've seen coaches talk more about being a great teammate. And I don't know why that is. Why is it a fad, or is it a knockdown from the NFL and from college? And Coach Saban talked about it all the time. But Fellowship of Christian Athletes sent this out, I would say, probably 10 to 15 years ago, and it's in my files. So we try to do this every year about this time, and it's entitled What Makes a Great Teammate. Now, you folks that have children that play high school sports or college sports or even youth sports, I think these are some things that you should hang your hat on. You should talk to your children about these things, because as they move up and they have different coaches at different levels, being a great teammate is vitally important to being an integral part of a team. And I'm going to go through a couple of these, not all of them, but this is a list of 12 qualities of a great teammate. And it says if you do these qualities, they should help you become a very important part of a team. And the question is asked as, do these qualities describe you or your young player? A great teammate gives relentless effort. Remember, your coach should not have to coach effort. You cannot control many things that will happen during your season, but you can control how hard you play. The only way to get better is to give your maximum effort. This not only makes you better, it pushes your teammates to get better as well. We have a friend who used to have the afternoon drive show in Mobile named Neil McCready. Neil now does a podcast with a guy that used to be a coach at St. Paul's and went into college coaching, and now they do a podcast out of Oxford, Mississippi. Neil wrote a great article this week about his son, who's a soccer player. He said the most important aspect, and he called his son, that he has is he is a great teammate. He encourages the younger ones. He encourages his own teammates that are his age, but he's a great teammate. And he wrote a great article, and I'm going to tell you, if those of you that knew Neil McCready and know him as I know him and think the world of him, if you get a chance, try to find that article that Neil wrote. And it describes a great teammate from a parent's perspective. And I thought that was really, really important. Matter of fact, the next time I'm here, I want to try to get Neil on, because that really resonated with me. A great teammate is unselfish. He puts the team first. A great teammate is honest. All great teams and relationships are built on honesty. Your coach and teammates need to know that they can trust you during the ups and downs of a season. Mark, you know better than most people that when you're in a football game and you're running an offensive play, you want to get the ball to that person who you trust, who you trust. And when you're setting up a defense, you want to get that your best football player, the one that you trust, in a position to make that play on third down and five that maybe somebody else can't make that play. And that word trust comes into play as coaches too. Every situation coaches are put in, we try our best to put players in a position that they have earned the trust of their coach to make whatever play it is. A great teammate is humble. Now, boy, this is a lost art in sport, I believe. But you see, like basketball, let's take basketball. Basketball is a team sport. You may be the star of your team, or you might be a role player. Either way, remember that the team comes first. Put your individual accomplishments aside and give praise to your teammates. Teams succeed when no one cares who gets the credit. You know, I remember when you and Phil and State, and who I think the guy that was one of the best offensive coordinators that's ever been around here, who was also a great football coach,
Doug Lefford,
guy that never wanted to be in the forefront.
Never.
And let me tell you, don't ever pop him on the fanny, though.
No.
Man alive. But that is the epitome to me of a person who does not care at all who gets the credit, just that we succeed. And there's a lot of coaches out there like that, and there's a lot of players. And on those teams that y'all had that were successful, really successful, that long run y'all have had, and it continues today.
Yeah, it does.
You still have those kids playing the game that don't give a rat's hoot about who gets the credit. And those are the teams that are successful. A great teammate holds themselves and their teammates accountable. You know, if you can't trust those guys on the court with you or on the field with you, you know, as an offensive lineman, you better trust that guy next to you. And you better hold him accountable, because if you don't, both of you are not going to be very good, not going to be successful. Great teammate holds themselves and their teammates accountable. A great teammate strives to improve. You know, I've seen it for the last 8 to 10 years. Players at UMS playing basketball, I'll use that as an example, in that gym, hour after hour after hour after hour, boys and girls, young and old, in that gym doing everything they could to be better at their craft. So what makes a great teammate? Relentless effort, unselfishness, honesty, humble, accountability. Those are the things that I think are hugely important in making a great teammate.
Boy, that's well said, Coach.
It is. You know what hurts me on that, though?
What?
This NIL.
It does. You're
that
exactly
NIL,
right.
NIL just, yep, seems like it just breaks it up.
It does.
So
it
takes
that's
a special
right.
special person. Good
that's
job
exactly
right there.
Right.
Good job.
Thank
All right, you. Boy, this first hour is coming going. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk to former T.R. Miller football coach Brent Hubbard. He's up next right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios.
Friday night lights, the whole town's here. Fans playing loud, you can feel the cheer.
The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Letter in my hand, drums pound the beat. I'm a warrior in the land.
Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Whistles blowing, crowd on his feet, sweat in the air, it's time to compete. But all that noise, it drifts away when it's just you and me in this four-quarter frame. Yeah, I know.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report as we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in South Alabama. I am Randy Bergen with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. Guys, I got to make a little correction. In that first hour, we were talking about Jolene Roxbury's show coming on at 4 o'clock today. That's that's a no-go. You have Auburn basketball today.
Correct.
And that's where you were talking about the tickets at $500 as they take on.
That's the minimum. That's the low end. That's what I heard anyway.
That's in the rafters, okay? So you're Bob Uecker right there. Okay?
Yes, sir.
But so she will be on at 7 a.m. tomorrow. And, Rick, we got to give a big shout-out to one of our close friends. Coach Barry Gibson is resting quietly with as he has had knee surgery like you've had many times. So, Coach, we hope your knee gets better. Mark, got a special guest on our Pops Midtown communication line.
Yeah, we do. We got a good friend of mine and a guy that I have a great admiration for, Coach Brent Hubbard from T.R. Miller. And I'm going to say this before he has a chance to speak. This man gave my son a chance to coach right out of college. And I will forever be in his debt for that. He taught him how to do it, what it took to coach, what things had to be done, and gave him a chance to learn. And Brent Hubbard, buddy, I can't ever tell you how much I appreciate what you did for my son and helping him become a coach. And I want to say that before we ever got started. But this is Brent Hubbard, folks. He just retired from T.R. Miller and from the state of Alabama. And Brent, we are so glad to have you on our show today, buddy.
Coach, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for the kind words.
Well, pal, I mean it, and I mean it with all my heart. And you've done a great job. 32 years in the profession, multiple state championships, tremendous career wherever you've been at Jemison and Maplesville and at T.R. Miller. And just, Coach, tell us a little bit about your thought process, what going into – retiring, because I know and you know, Rick knows, we all, and coaching, retirement is not an easy thing. It's not something you just do. You mean it's, there has to be some thought process that goes in. Tell us about a little bit of what you were thinking, pal.
Well, you know, a lot went on in this season and with you know, an injury or whatever, and you know, never been through that. It kind of makes you start reflecting on some things in different ways. And I don't think, you know, and sometimes it's financial decisions and things like that. But, you know, you always hear that you know when it's time. And then again, I've talked to guys recently since me announcing that that are older than me that's retired and then got back in and things like that. And it's kind of I kind of went through some of the things that they're going through. It's, I sat down normally at this time of year in January, December, and January. Man, we're depth charting. We're off the wall. We're doing scheme that we think we're going to work on. And, you know, every time I'd sit down to get a pen, get the paper, and it was like, I just don't feel like doing it. And so, you know, kind of took that as a sign. Well, you know, I love the game of football. I grew up in a dressing room, grew up in a field house. I love basketball also, baseball. I mean, I love athletics. I think being an athletic director, I think, is a little bit time-consuming and hard with the eligibility process and things. And being a head coach, I think that could be overbearing some. But I still like the field house, the bus rides, the weight room, practices. You know, I got to find a place I can still be a part of that somehow. But being that guy that, you know, is over every single thing and it all, you know, comes down and it's you, those things, you know, some of those things get tiring.
You know, Brent, first of all, the success you've had, you had a great foundation. Your daddy, being in this business and as successful as he was, and you were tugging on his shoestrings along the way, all along the way. This is a vital part of your life. And then you become a head coach, and you have a family. And that family is of utmost importance. And now we get to a point in coaching where we've got hundreds and hundreds of transfers. We've got the threat of paying high school players all around us. And the thing that you just mentioned, being a high school athletic director over all the sports in your high school, is overbearing. It's too much. Yeah. And we have long time been proponents here on PSR of having a head football coach that is not the athletic director. But in the world we live in, you cannot make the pay, the salary that you deserve without being athletic director and head football coach or whatever head coach in a sport. And it's there's not enough time in the day to do it, Brent. There's just not.
Right. So, and then it becomes, okay, when you start talking, thinking about finances, well, all right, well, you can make that up. You retire and still can coach some football. Well, you're drawing your retirement, and then you get an outside salary, and you coach football when you're not the athletic director. So you start making that up when you start doing some of those things. And, you know, that's all future things for me to think about.
Well, so my question to you.
I know you talked about the recruitment, and you talked about those things. You know, I kind of made a little statement being interviewed the other day. It was on AL.com. And, you know, those things happen for different reasons, the transfers. But it seems, I think the high school kids, the transfers and the moving, I think it has a lot to do with the college transfer portal.
Agreed.
Because that's what they see. I mean, it's just like the actions of wanting to fight after every play or fight in basketball, go up and look. Instead of helping somebody up and, you know, maybe patting them on the butt and say, I'll be right back, you know.
Right.
Little gamemanship instead of, I don't know, it just gets out of control now. The planting the flags. Well, high school kids see all that. I mean, and they're going to imitate it. We all imitate it. I imitated Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. You're going to imitate those people. I mean, that's what high school kids do.
And as a head coach or an athletic director, you're responsible for setting them on the right path. And that's not the right path.
One of the biggest rules that is one of the hardest ones to enforce is this, you know, a coach preaches brotherhood, team, stand up for your brother, stand up for your brother, and you get an email every week about leaving the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And a 17-year-old kid, his brother – is attacked by somebody that may not be talked to every day about, hey, you got to stay behind this line. When something happens, I don't care if they're beating the crap out of them, you can't go out there. Things like 10 coaches can't control 80 kids.
No.
And you've been preaching to them all along about being a teammate, a brother. And heck, that's hard. That's hard. And it's wrong to go on that field, but that's hard to keep them from doing that.
Yeah. You know, and we're talking to Brent Hubbard, the just recently retired head football coach from T.R. Miller. And when we come back, Brent, we want to talk a little bit about some of the things that transpired during your career and the things that may have played a role in having you come to the conclusion that you've come to retire as a head coach and maybe think about your future when we come back, Randy.
Yeah, we're going to do that in just a few moments. Again, with Brent Hubbard, former T.R. Miller coach, and this is the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right here coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios in Lower Alabama. Just a reminder for you, coming up at 10 o'clock, we've got Southern Fairway Sports Radio. Got a great lineup for you. We'll have Bobby Hall's going to be in the house. Matt Brandt's going to be in the house. We're also going to have Ray Schuessler and former Alabama, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Paul Tripley's going to be on.
Nice.
So we're going to talk a lot of Super Bowl. We got a lot of golf to talk about, so you won't want to miss that. All right, we take a timeout. More of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We're visiting with future inductee. Boy, I got tongue-tied there for just a second. Hall of Fame Coach Brent Hubbard, Rick.
You know, Brent's going to be inducted into the Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame on March the 10th.
Yep.
And, Brent, congratulations for that. But I wanted to share something with you. When my first year coaching at Talladega, Alabama, in late 1970s, we were playing Sylacauga, my hometown, in a high school B team game. And one of my teammates that played for us at Sylacauga's name was Wayne Harris, outstanding young man. Mom and Dad, tremendous supporters of us there at Sylacauga High School. His young brother returned to kickoff, very similar to what you had at yeah. UMS this year. And his young brother suffered a broken neck. And I will never forget sitting with our coaches, three of us that weren't coaching B-team at the time. We sat there and watched everything that transpired, and knowing the Harris boy as well as knowing his family and his brother, I went home and told my wife, I said, you know, I don't know if this is for me. I really don't. Yeah. And it took me a pretty good while to get over that. Talk just a little bit about Ken Litt and
yeah.
what you guys have really rallied around this family. And that had to play a major role, I think, in maybe you thinking about where our game is today.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously I don't think safety issues or anything were a cause of it. It was probably, well, I described it when you watch the video, you see, I mean, it was so crazy. The day we do a little motivation before we get on the bus, about 5 minutes, and that particular day we talked about life and football being a game of inches. And when you watch that video, it's so ironic. I mean, he's 2 inches to the right to running it back for a touchdown. And
wow.
So it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. But, you know, never think that's going to happen. I think I had a kid at one time at Maplesville. We were doing early morning practices for some reason during fall camp. And we got really close with some heat exhaustion. And, that's probably the closest, but then this happens, and it was like instantaneously when you see him in the air, watching the video, you can see my legs kind of run out there. We just took off. It was kind of like you just felt it. And and you're helpless as a coach, and then you kind of get in perspective, okay, well, we spend a lot of time, and you know they get tired of you getting on their rear end, and some of them may not like it and everything. And this kid can't move at all, and he looks up at you and he says, "Help me, coach." And you're just kind of at a loss. Yeah. It's like, all right, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing you can do, and you don't realize they depend on you that much.
Yeah, and, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Stacy Harrelson and the job that he and his crew did that night. I'm talking about, and you know, Brent, I mean, Stacy Harrelson, I don't know how close it was, but I think that without the job that Stacy did that night and having that ambulance there and y'all doing everything that was done really was a tremendous blessing.
Oh yeah, and you know, people may not even know Ken's mom had not made it to the game yet. And Dad's on the field and he's telling her, "Hey, don't even come in. Just meet me at the gate."
Yeah.
And you know, wasn't something Mom needed to see, and the good Lord knew that. I can't say enough about the city of Mobile and the UMS Wright family for what they've done and continue to do for that family. As well as
Brent, tell us about how he's doing.
You know, he just started back this semester with us. Left the Shepherd Center. You know, we never hear really anything negative about his progress. He comes to Mobile a couple times a week. He was real adamant that he couldn't miss athletics, so he comes down there with us, does a little bit of – we give him some rubber bands, we give him some weights, we put some dumbbells in his hand, make him do some things. Now, he'll get on the kid in a minute, but that's just the way Ken is. He'll just pop off. So, now, we're going to have issues if he don't keep the wheelchair in indoor mode.
instead of putting it in outdoor mode while he's in the hallway, he's going to end up running over. He thinks that's hilarious. So that's probably been his one issue. He's going to end up in ISS for that, I bet. But he's at the basketball game last night. Emotionally, I'm sure. I have no experience in it. I would just assume emotionally he has some times, and that's, you know, that's to be figured. He's done a real. Yesterday, he came in. He showed me a video. He was at his doing some therapy, and he was able to move his left leg, slide it across the floor.
Wow.
So, that's good. Baby steps. Real excited about those things. And I let him tell everybody on the team during workouts yesterday. I said, all right, Ken, tell me your report today. And, so he told him, hey, I moved my leg. So those things are great.
Wow. It is. Coach, tell us a little bit, changing gears a little bit, tell us a little bit now about what you see for your future. Well, you got any ideas? You just going to kind of sit back and let it all ride? What are you thinking?
I have no clue, really. I just, like you said, let it ride. I don't know. My dad, y'all mentioned my dad. He's 76. It depends on who you ask how he's doing. I think he's always going to say fine. You ask my mama, come get him and get him out of here. And my wife, dad, he's about the same age. And, he's got some small health issues. Probably getting closer to the family for a little bit and doing some things. I don't think I'm finished coaching. I love athletics. But there's nothing definite, any plans.
Brent, I think I really think that Ben Thomas said it best is, we need you in coaching. We need people that like you in coaching, and I hope that you. I think Randy, all three of us hope that you're not through coaching, and whatever makes you and your family happy, we hope that's what you do.
Absolutely.
Because you have certainly earned those stripes.
Yeah, I'll tell you a quick story. You asked what I was going to do. My oldest son lives back in Chilton County, and he moved back up there a couple of years ago, and he took back over. We had a couple little hunting plots, and nobody had been hunting on them or doing anything with them for the last 4 or 5 years. So he moves back up there, starts work, and somebody asked him, what's your dad going to do? And he said, well, he's probably going to come up here and kill all my deer I've been feeding. And I said, you didn't lie to him, I probably am.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I got some bad news for you, Brent. They have been hunting on your land. Mike Blair's been hunting on your land the whole time you've been gone.
Oh, there ain't no doubt about that. Everything else. I can promise you that.
Boy, that's a
he would not tell you that.
No. Hey, Brent, I just want to tell you, man, we appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us this morning. You had a great career. You got more to do. I know you do. And the great thing about it is you can do whatever you want, pal. You can do whatever you want. And we here at the radio station want you to know how much we appreciate what you've done for kids over your career. And look forward to seeing what the next steps you're going to be doing, because it's going to be great.
Amen.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And, man, I enjoyed listening to you guys. I enjoyed being on with you and, anytime. So, but tell Landon I said, don't lay around the house all the time. You got to get out and do something.
I love that.
I'll tell her, baby.
And you give your daddy a big old hug.
Yes, sir.
Of us.
Tell Jim hello for us.
Yep.
I sure will. All right. Thanks.
All right. Take care, baby.
All right. There you go. Brent Hubbard, former T.R. Miller coach. And
big shoes to fill at T.R. Miller.
Well, let me tell you right something. Now. If you've never been to that football stadium, which they've renovated, looks great.
Man, it does.
That press box is awesome. That's a place, you talk about going into Prattville, Rick.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what. You head over to Bruton.
Well, Bruton is one of those towns you think of when you think of small town high school sports.
Right.
They
shut it down.
Everything centers around that deal. And Brent did a great job there. Hate to see him go. but wish him very well in the future.
All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to roll around the state. We got a lot to get into. Don't go anywhere. We've got more of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report right after this.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
It happens every week at this time.
Boz sings it well by himself.
But you gotta see this guy dancing. I mean, it's just my foot. It's not cutting the rug. It's slicing it to pieces.
Oh my God! Wow.
Wow, that hurt me.
Coach, we have got, as we always say, we've got some really great sponsors of the show, and Premier Collision certainly one of them.
Well, and we all know that. You know, I really feel like when I pull up to Premier Collision at 1177 Sledge Drive that I'm going into a family reunion. I mean, you go in there and they generally got some kind of local eatery sitting around because they eat lunch in their office, and it's a family environment. When you walk in, Kim's always got a smile on her face, and Chris is on the phone, and Tyler's back there running numbers and doing all this. Premier Collision is the place you want your vehicle to be when you've had an automobile accident. There's just no question about it. It's your local auto body repair shop. It's owned and operated locally right here in Mobile, Alabama. You know, if you got to get it painted, Mark, you're a professional on that. You've had a vehicle that's painted, and it looks like it's a brand new one now, and Randy and I have both had work done by Premier Collision, and I'm going to tell you, there's just not anything like it that I've ever been associated with. That when you take your vehicle there, you know that when it's finished, it's going to come back to you like a brand new vehicle. And so if you get a chance, go by and see our friends at Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, 101 Schillinger Drive, their location out there on Schillinger. And you can give them a call at 251-478-4500. They're going to treat you like family, and when you leave there, you're going to feel like that you got everything taken care of, and you can go about your life until with everything else in your life, you can go about it because your car or vehicle is going to be taken great care of. That's Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive in Mobile, Alabama, 251-478-4500.
Coach, a little bit earlier this week, take a little stroll up to Tuscaloosa County, if you will. Holt High School has announced that they will be dropping all of their varsity sports for 2026.
Yeah, and now, you know, one of the things about that is, guys, is the kids can still go to other high school they can compete
at other schools.
At other schools,
correct.
Depending on where they live.
Right.
Since they do not offer sports there, they can go to Brookwood, I think, or one other one. And you know what? I'm afraid this may be something that we may see more and more of.
And you may.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, with that NIL happening, and I mean, that we talk about this all the time, and can we find an answer to that? Is there an answer to it?
I don't know that there is an answer to it. I think the answer to it is for Alabama not to do it.
But then you have the kids start going to other states.
We did Mr. Basketball this year, went over to Grayson, Georgia.
But you know what? You know, if that's what it takes, if they want to leave, then go. We'll coach who's left.
That's right.
You know, that's the point to where, you know, I'm at the point in this thing where I'm so tired of hearing about it. It's so aggravating because it's not amateur sports anymore.
No.
And it bothers me. And I don't like to be held up for ransom. And that's what I feel like they're trying to be. They're trying to hold folks up for ransom and we're going to offer you that. Well, if you want the money, go get it.
Yeah.
We're going to coach who wants to be here.
Right.
And I'm going to coach my fanny off just like I'm going to do if your son or daughter was here.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to – I can't worry because, guys, it's out of our control. And it's a sad case, and it makes me mad and bothers me a lot, but there's nothing I can do about it but coach the kids I got, and that's what I'm going to do. But it really breaks my heart. You know, I did my student teaching at Holt High School in 1981, I believe it was, and Woody Clements. He was the head coach at that time.
Yep.
Came out to practice every day in a pair of khaki pants and a white T-shirt and a clipboard and a whistle around his neck. Every single day, same exact thing, black shoes and black socks or white socks every day. But Woody, what a great guy he was. He let me come in there and coach middle junior high football that fall. But, you know, the Holt Ironmen are no more.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad to me. That's just sad. But that's the way things are going. And it's going to happen in other places. You can go to other places. I've been to some schools the last few years and seen how are they staying afloat.
Yeah.
You know?
The county schools are the ones I worry about.
Me too.
That's the ones I worry about. And Colt fits into that mold.
Yeah.
And so, 2025, 26 will be their last season.
Yeah.
I think they played football and won one game this year.
I think you're right.
Just numbers, it's expensive. There's no question about it. So that's something that we hate to see, Randy.
Well, there's no doubt. And I want to check and see real quick because I believe their record for this year, I think they won more than
– Did they?
More than one. Let me look and see real quick.
You know where you can go on that.
I got it right here. They were actually 4-6
okay.
on the season. Good. So.
So I don't understand. I don't know. Maybe there's – I don't know. I don't have any answers.
Well, it's a sad story.
It is.
And the thing about it is it's going to happen more and more, I'm afraid, because when you think about – I mean, and Hope and Randy and Mark, I didn't know that. I didn't know you did your student teaching there because, you know, when you mentioned Woody Clements is a guy – that was so well respected for so many years in that Tuscaloosa area.
Yes.
I mean, just a tremendous, tremendous guy and one of the old timers.
Yes, sir.
About. He was a guy, that
goes back in time. And hey, on another subject, Eric Collier. New head football coach. Was it George County?
Yeah, it is. And you know, that's kind of a that doesn't surprise me at all. Of course, you had Eric on your staff
at Alma
at
Bryant.
One time at Alma Bryant.
Sure did.
And then he was the head coach at Alma Bryant for a few years. And then he went to Theodore, did a great job there. Then
went to South Alabama.
Yeah, he went to Kane Womack, hired him as a high school liaison.
Correct.
Then when Jamie Dubose got the job at Biloxi, Kane had left and went to Alabama.
Right.
Jamie Dubose took the job at Biloxi High School. He hired Eric to run his defense over there. And so I think Eric always wanted to get back in the head coaching deal. And so he jumps in at George County, who just happened to have, I think, one of the premier quarterbacks in the country, Deuce Knight, there last year. Don't know who it'll be this year, but it would have been funny if Deuce Knight were there and Eric were the head coach because he loves to run the football.
He sure does. I'm telling
you, he loves to run. And this kid, Deuce Knight's one of the best high school quarterbacks I've ever seen.
He's a good one.
He's a good one. So, but we're so happy for Eric. And, you know, Chip Minton is his principal now there.
And they're buddies.
They are.
They go way back to when they were both young coaches.
Yep.
When Chip was actually at BC Rain, but they grew up in the same community. Chip's daddy and the Colliers have families are close together, I think, in some way. So I don't remember all that, but
and the superintendent there is a former Mobile County principal. And I can't think of his name right now, but
and you're saying George County, that is in Mississippi.
It's in Loosedale.
Loosedale, Mississippi. And you know, I'm just so happy for Eric. He gets to do what he finds and plays, finds a place for him to go and do what he loves. He's eat up with coaching, so he's not going to get out of it anytime soon.
Well, he's a good one.
Yeah, he is. Good guy.
We've mentioned it several times today that Auburn's going to be taking on Florida today. That happens at 3 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. You can listen to it there. You can watch it on ESPN2. But there's another basketball game going on. If you don't happen to be an Alabama or Florida fan, or excuse me, an Auburn or Florida fan, How about Daphne and Fairhope?
Ooh.
Today at 5 o'clock?
Boy, and you're talking about two coaches who, of course, we love, love Ralph Watson. But let me tell you, this guy, Daphne Reed-Hotard, has done one heck of a job. They're, I don't know what their record is. They've about 17-8, 18-8. And what a heck of a job he's done there. And basketball has always kind of played second fiddle to football at both of these schools.
Correct.
And so these two schools are really doing well. And they'll play today at 5 o'clock at Daphne High School. Two outstanding coaches and two coaching staffs that really work well together. You know, it's odd to me. You see 4 and 5 coaches in a high school 7A game.
Yeah.
And they're, I mean, you got one guy calling defense. You got another guy putting substitutes.
Used to be
in.
Just one guy standing
yeah.
over.
And you got the head coach.
Hey, Joe, jump in.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, you get a go. Hey, what's your name?
You're in.
And the head coach is walking up and down the sidelines, and he's just kind of managing the game and yeah. the officials.
Yeah.
Constant communication with those guys. But these two guys, Reed Hotard at Daphne and Ralph Watson at Fairhope, have done a tremendous job. And so what this means, both of these teams will move on now. They'll move on to Montgomery.
And they'll play either MGM or Baker.
Right, or Baker. That's right. So it's going to be interesting. That's pretty good. Thank you, Randy, for mentioning that.
Yeah, hey, we've got just a minute or two left here in this segment. How about Matt Patterson stepping down?
Yeah, Matt, you're going to know his daddy, Larry Patterson.
I do know Larry.
Larry's son, Matt, is stepping down at Buckhorn. And Buckhorn has been a perennial basketball power, but Matt has taken Buckhorn to the playoffs the last 3 years. And, Mark, you would know better than me, that's pretty good for Buckhorn.
It is pretty good for Buckhorn. Buckhorn's not a big football school.
Right.
And it never has been. And when I was a kid, it was a 1A school.
Yeah.
But it's always been kind of a basketball
school.
It
is that. You're right.
And so for him to do that, it's been just a great job by him. But, again, he comes from a family of a daddy who was a tremendous coach. One of the guys you just like being around all the time. And I think his nickname, Pod Patterson.
It is Pod Patterson.
Yeah.
That's right. So, that's the only way I knew him.
Yeah.
I can remember early going to the coaching clinics and stuff, and I said, Coach Pod, how you it's just and he was a lot like Woody Clements now.
Yeah.
A lot like
He's a friend of mine on Facebook. He and I chat every now and then. Yeah. He's a good guy.
And Matt's got something in the works.
He's
got something in the works. Don't know what it is. Both he and his wife, and it's something that I think will be great for him. And I'm mighty excited for them on that. But we got all kind of basketball today.
Yeah,
we got UMS Wright goes to Vigor this afternoon. I'm not sure what time that is. Now this is an elimination game. Winner moves on, loser is out. It's like yesterday UMS Wright and St. Paul's and girls. UMS Wright moves on to the Sweet 16 in Montgomery, and same thing here for the boys. UMS Wright wins, they move on. Vigor wins, they move on. So it's an elimination game.
We're flying through it. We're flying through it. We're going to take our final timeout. When we come back, Mark has got our Camp Grace segment right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, every Saturday we come on here and we talk about on the Grace segment, and we always trying to find a way to help our coaches, our communities, our kids, ourselves in what we talk about. But at the end of the day, everything that I believe that I've tried to do, and I don't do it every day, but I think what I try to do is that when we talk on this show about the Camp Grace segment, I believe that what everything filters down to something that helps the kids, whether it be helping coaches, helping the school. We just heard our officials association talking about sportsmanship. You know, all these things that we talk about are to help and for the benefit and the betterment of our kids. And here's something I read that has been really powerful to me. It's just been something on my mind for the last couple of weeks. I guess ever since I got back from Portland, it's just been something that's been on my mind. We wonder, why are children so special in the eyes of God? Why? And I read something that really hits it. Children are innocent. Children, when they are born, are innocent. They know only love and happiness. That's all they know. And they want to eat, you know. That's it. Yeah. They have no negative feelings toward other people. You ever watch, Coach, I know you do, and you're at UMS. If I ever want to make my day a little better,
yeah,
I get out and I walk out to our east. I sit on the walkway of our – goes onto our football field out of the coach's office, and I can sit and watch the ECC, which is the Early Childhood Center. Yeah. And I can watch all them little bitty preschoolers and them kids out there playing in the little playground area. And they're just as – now, they may fall down and cry or get bumped and they get mad about something, but then they shake it off. 2 minutes later, they've forgotten all about it, and they're best friends again. They're running around. But they're out there, and they're just happy, you know? They're just happy. And they don't keep or harbor negative feelings. They don't know how to do that. They don't understand anything about harboring feelings about other kids or other people. They are exactly a reflection of God. In these times, to me, this is what I was reading, and I agree with it. Not only in their eyes, even in their smile and their overall appearance is God's reflection. So as we talk, that if we keep that at the focal point of what our mission on our show is, when we talk to Terry Canova, when we talk to other coaches, and you can hear in their voice the absolute love for kids.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about, when we had Roe Kimball on here today, and he was talking about his players, you could just hear it in his voice, you know. And then we talked to Coach Hubbard about what he, and you just, when he tells the story about having that kid in his office showing him what he could do that day about moving his foot.
Yeah.
I'm telling you something now, that doesn't seem like much. When you can't walk and you've been, when you're an athlete and all of a sudden your career is gone and you're paralyzed and you can't do anything, and all of a sudden now his foot can, he can move it and he shows his coach. Does that tell you about his coach?
Yeah.
It does. Tells you about his coach. Tells you that kid knows his coach loves him, not as a football player, but just as a kid.
Yeah.
Because he's one of mine. Yeah. You know, and that's what this is all about. When we talk about kids and what we're supposed to do, it's not about, we talked in here a little while ago today about winning. We are in the business of winning kids. That's what our business is supposed to. Yeah, we want to win football games, and I'm going to coach my fanny off to win every time we play or compete, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
It would be terrible not to coach your kids the best, hardest you can be, even if that has some tough love in it. It's got to have it in there sometimes. But it's still the eyes of those children are what I want to look into. And when I look into those eyes, I want to see in there them looking back at me, and I want to be the guy who's, they know this guy cares about me.
Yeah.
Just me. Not me, the golfer, not me, the basketball player, the football. He cares about me.
Yeah.
You know, it was so delightful for me the other day. I ran into a couple parents of ours whose kids have graduated. We were at the dumbwaiter restaurant eating, yeah, in Wes's restaurant the other night. And they were there. And we got, and the first thing I was, how's Mac? And they told me Mac was in Dallas. He's working in this big company, graduated from his school. He played 4 years at Trinity School out there, and then went on. He's got a great job working with another guy from Bayside who played football for us. They're working together in this and just doing fantastic. Awesome. I saw William Bull's parents. He's doing – he's living in Birmingham, doing great, you know. And I think about, man, I remember looking in those kids' eyes, you know, and seeing it. I remember the COVID game, Coach, the first game that Friday night we went to Escambia County, and I remember sitting in that room, looking around that room, seeing all those kids with their helmets off, listening to Coach Lazenby as he was talking about we get to play.
Yeah.
And those seniors sitting there thinking, yes. Because that's all some of those kids had ever dreamed about, playing for Bayside when they were a senior in high school. Their last year. They'd been to school there for 14 years, from pre-K all the way up. Yeah. And here it was. And you could see it in their eyes. You could see tears coming down some of their faces. They were so glad we were getting to play. Now, you cut all the other stuff out. Cut all the hoopla out. When it comes right down to it, what we're here for is for the eyes of those children. And, man, I want those eyes to be filled with love and pride and respect and admiration for the life that they get to live, you know, wherever that is. And so many coaches out there today are doing that on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Kudos to you guys.
Yeah.
Because that's what this is all about.
Men and women alike.
Yes. Mark.
Men and women yes. alike are making difference in children's lives. And we seem to be bypassing that as we get into the NIL and the transfer portal and all of that. Because there's some people out there who put priorities above making a difference in children's lives. There's some. Not many.
Sure.
Not many, but there's some. And that is so very well spoken because, you know, I got coaching friends who used to use a phrase, well, it's all about the kids. Remember that now. It's all about the kids. When in their eyes, it was not. It wasn't. They were using that phrase as
a cliche.
As a cliche. That's exactly right. And, you know, the most important thing we can do every day is to put a smile on a face and a hug around the kid's neck. Makes a difference in your life. Randy, great job. Look forward to your show coming up with Bobby and Matt. Mark, great job. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. See you here same time, same place, 1 week from today.